and welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people and launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Dan Dimite, and today on the show, we will be welcoming an incredible guest, Jim Beckman. Jim is one of the pioneers of Catholic youth ministry in the United States. If you've ever heard of programs like Life Teen or Why Disciple or a new program out there called Formed, well, chances are Jim had his hand in it. For the last 25 years, Jim has been laboring in the vineyard of the Lord for the sake of youth ministry and lay formation. Jim was on the national staff for Life Teen and did a lot of their curriculum development. He was one of the founders of an incredible youth ministry program called Why Disciple that helps young people learn how to live as a disciple of Jesus Christ through small group ministry. And currently, he is working on a program called Formed that is probably close to being at your parish. Many parishes around the United States are starting to use this new program called Formed that gives lay people and Catholics everywhere incredible resources to grow in their Catholic faith. Jim Beckman is also, he is one of the professors of leadership and evangelization at the Augustine Institute in Denver, Colorado, and he also helps with the lay division of formation in the seminary in the Colorado area. And so we're excited to have Jim with us. Later in the show, we're going to hear Jim share his encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this encounter is absolutely insane. Jesus moved in a powerful and miraculous way in Jim's life when he was only 9 years old. And he kind of launched him from his youth into this powerful ministry. And so we're excited to hear about that. Believe it or not, Jim's mother's conversion was a critical part of his own conversion. Now, I know there's probably a lot of moms or dads out there listening today who have had a deeper conversion in your own life. And moms and dads, you probably have encountered the living God and you want that for your children. Well, Jim's story today will give you hope that that's possible. Not to lose hope that God has a plan for your kids, that when you encounter the living God, that the Lord also wants your children to encounter the living God through your witness. That Jesus desires your children's conversion more than you desire their conversion for yourself, right? Why? Because Jesus, he actually desires your children's happiness more than you could ever desire their happiness. So this story that we're going to hear today is a story of hope, I think. It's a story that God can work in powerful and miraculous ways. And before welcoming Jim on the show, I actually want to share another story of hope, another life-changing encounter of a woman found in Scripture, and reflect on how her encounter with Jesus Christ also helped others that were around her fall in love with him. So we're gonna start today with a Scripture account from John chapter 4. And if you have your Bibles and you're not driving, I would encourage you to open up to John chapter 4. We're going to read about the Samaritan woman at the well. And this is what the Lord says. Let's just open in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Good and gracious God, we come to you today hungry. We come today, Lord, hungry for life-giving waters. We are tired, Lord, of drinking from a well that does not satisfy. We are tired of the empty wells that will never satisfy us, Lord. And we come to you hungry for a life-giving water, a water that leads to true fulfillment, true satisfaction, true hope. In the Gospel of John, we hear that Jesus had to pass through Samaria. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" For Jews used nothing in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who was saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket and the cistern is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the cistern and drank from it himself, with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw more and more water. Jesus said to her, Go, call your husband and come back. The woman answered and said to him, I do not have a husband. Jesus said to her, You are right in saying, I do not have a husband, for you have five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Anointed. When he comes, he will tell us everything. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking with you. The woman left her water jar and went to the town and said to the people, Come, see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Messiah? Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, He has told me everything I have done. When the Samaritans came to him and they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. Many more people began to believe in him because of his words. And they said to the woman, We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. Whew! That is a long scripture account, but man, is it full of amazing, amazing truth, right? That this is a true encounter with Jesus Christ where a woman discovers the life-giving source of Jesus Christ, the life-giving water of Jesus. She discovers in Christ true and authentic love, a love that satisfies. This show is called Encounter. We have a simple desire for this show. We desire to show how life-changing encounters that happen in Scripture can actually still happen today, right? That many of us are like the Samaritan woman, and the Lord wants to come to us and say, I have life-giving water for you. Come and take a drink. Drink of my grace, drink of my mercy, and drink of my love. The person of Jesus who spoke to this woman still speaks to us today, and we can encounter him just like she did. And so when she encounters Jesus, what does she do? She goes back into her village, and she tells everyone in her village that what Jesus has done for her. And because of her testimony, many come to believe. And then because of her testimony, they don't just believe in what she says, but they want to discover this man named Jesus for themselves. And so they come and they find life-giving water themselves. And it says, we no longer need your testimony because we have found belief ourselves, right? And so the Lord wants us to encounter him more deeply, and he wants to use our testimony to help others encounter him more deeply. Wow, how beautiful is that? So let's take a look at this woman real quick and see if we can identify a little bit with this Samaritan woman. I'm sure many of you have heard that Samaritan women, well, women in general in biblical times were of low social status. And the Samaritans were considered unclean from the Jewish people. A lot of times they were ignored or alienated by the Jewish people. And the Samaritan woman, of course, she's a sinner. That Jesus identifies that she has five husbands, and she's currently living with this other man who's not even her husband. And so this woman had to have a lot of pain and hurt in her life. Imagine, just imagine if you met a woman like this today, a woman who had had five husbands and now was living with a sixth man. She would be a woman who felt alone and isolated, a woman who was searching for love, but for whatever reason had never found love in this world, right? There's probably a lot of pain and hurt that this woman has, and she's looking and she's longing to be satisfied. Scripture says that she came to the well at noon. I wonder why she would come to the well at noon, right? I think she probably comes to the well at noon because no one else is there. It's a time where she's just afraid that people will see her. She's tired of being rebuked and judged, rejected by others. And so she wants to go to the well at the hottest point of the day when no one else will be there so that she can do her daily duties without being seen. She's probably a woman who's been rebuked a lot, a woman who not only is hated by others, but who likely hates herself, who looks within and says, why am I who I am? And why can't I be better? Why can't I be like everyone else? And today, when she goes to the well at noon, today is a day like none others, right? That often she's probably ignored and unseen, but today there's someone at the well. Jesus is there. Jesus is there in her weakness. Jesus is there in her brokenness. And he says, give me a drink. And she says, how? How can you, a Jew, speak to me, a Samaritan woman? The Lord approached her, even though she felt like she was unapproachable. And I believe a lot of times we feel unapproachable, or we know people who feel unapproachable because of our weakness and our pain. But Jesus identifies that, and he knows her pain. He knows her desire for fulfillment, and he knows that she wants to be satisfied. And so she might very well have been the weakest and most unclean woman in that entire village, but she was the woman that Jesus chooses to come to. And so maybe some of us are like the Samaritan woman. Like the Samaritan woman, we want to hide our weaknesses from Jesus, who knows us from the inside out. And we don't want to expose our wounds. We don't want to expose our hurt and our pain, our brokenness, and our deep desire for love and fulfillment. But today, Jesus comes to you. And Jesus says, give me a drink. I want to converse with you. I want to talk to you. I want you to hear my voice and see my face. So where are we the weakest today? Maybe it's a particular sin like anger or lust or impurity, laziness, speech, disobedience. Maybe our weakness is our own body image or our self-confidence. Maybe our weakness is that we're so materialistic and we have envy over so many things. Maybe we feel unsatisfied with life. We're broken and we're beat up. The Lord comes to us in our weaknesses, and he says, come. Wherever we're the weakest, the Lord comes. And he doesn't see your weakness, but he actually sees you. He doesn't see your brokenness. He sees you. And he says, give me a drink. You realize those words are the same words he cries out on the cross. He says, I thirst. On the cross, he says, I'm thirsty for you, and I desire your presence to be with me. You see, when you see weakness, Jesus sees potential. And where you see weakness, Jesus sees an opportunity for healing and empowerment. He says, where you are weak, I am strong. So in her weakness, the woman is given two options. You can either continue going to your empty wells, or you can come to this living water, right? That every day she comes back to the cistern and she receives water that fails to satisfy. And how often do we do that, right? In our brokenness and our weakness, we turn to these empty wells. Maybe we turn to food or empty relationships. Maybe we turn to mindless social media or an endless television coma. We turn to these empty wells and we just lay in our despair and our isolation, our doubt and our insecurity. What are your empty wells? What do you turn to try to find satisfaction, but it never satisfies you? Jesus wants to expose those empty wells, and he says, I have something else for you. I have living water. And who is the living water? Jesus himself is the living water, and he wants to satisfy us and give us a drink of himself. And we can actually drink deeply of this living water through the sacraments of the church, right? Through all of these different modes of grace in our church are vehicles of living water. We have the Eucharist. We have adoration. We have confession. We have prayer. We have devotionals. All of these are sources of living water for us. But I know a lot of times I'll tap into these sources of living waters, and I'm kind of just frustrated because I'm like, ah, it doesn't seem like it's working, Lord. Like, I want to be satisfied. I want to be fulfilled, but it's not working. And Jesus, he instructs a woman that we're called to worship in spirit and truth, right? That we need to invite the Holy Spirit into our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. That when we go to Mass, we want to invite the Spirit into our time of Mass, right? When we're going to confession, let's invite the Spirit into our time of confession. When we enter into prayer, invite the Spirit into our time of prayer. Open our time of prayer of just saying, come, Holy Spirit, move in powerful ways. But secondly, Jesus kind of tells the woman, hey, listen, you're focused way too much on this world, right? That you're wanting a living water that just satisfies in this world. And notice how the woman's like, hey, how are you going to get me this living water? You don't even have a bucket. Like, how are you going to pull water from this well? She's focused on the things of this world, where Jesus is actually speaking of a heavenly reality, a heavenly relationship. I think right here, this is where the importance of where this woman is. She's at Jacob's well. And if you're familiar with the Old Testament, Jacob's well is associated with a miracle where water just kind of bubbled out of it continuously. And so the people believed that Jacob's well would never run empty. But Jesus is saying, hey, listen, even this earthly well that you think will never run empty can't satisfy you. Reminding us that our true peace and consolation ultimately comes from heaven, right? That we can't find happiness in anything in this world. And even our spiritual longings are longings for fulfillment that rest in heaven. But the well has an even greater importance here. Who is Jacob? Well, Jacob was a man who met his future wife at a well, right? He was on a journey looking for his spouse. And at Jacob's well, he discovered Rachel. And Rachel was there, and immediately he fell in love. And isn't it interesting that this woman who is filled with so much brokenness and weakness, a woman who is longing for love, longing to be satisfied, finds Jesus at the well, at Jacob's well. Here Jesus is telling us, listen, I have a love story for you that is greater than any love story you could ever imagine. I don't want to satisfy you with just the things of this world. I want to satisfy you and fulfill you with my own love, with an intimacy that is deeper than any intimacy that you could ever find. This woman who had tried to find love in six other men was now face to face with Jesus himself, who said, I am love. And this is the kind of encounter Jesus wants for us. Maybe you've been going to these vehicles of grace. Maybe you've been going to Mass and confession. Maybe you've been trying to pray, but you've never really fallen in love with Jesus. You haven't encountered him and heard his voice and been swept off your feet with love. That's what the Lord desires for us. And so we want to pray right now. Before we take a break, we want to pray for love to enter. Let's pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we desire fulfillment. We desire to be satisfied. We desire your love. Jesus, give us your love. Allow this love of yours to be an ocean of life-giving water that satisfies us, that washes over us. Lord, I pray for those in the audience who have never been able to fall in love with you, whose faith is kind of a regimented system of rules and obedience to laws. Lord, I pray that you would overwhelm them with your love. I pray, Lord, that your love would well up in us. Come, Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The powerful thing is, after this woman encounters Jesus Christ, what does she do? When she falls in love, she goes off and she tells everyone about it. I think a lot of times we hear about the need to evangelize and the need to tell others about Jesus, and we see this as a burden. You see, when you fall in love, you can't help but share this, right? Has anyone ever watched the movie Buddy the Elf? And Buddy runs into his dad's office and he says, I'm in love, and I don't care who knows it. That's evangelization. We fall in love with Jesus. And this woman, who out of her love for Jesus, goes back and tells the world, and she doesn't care what they think anymore. She doesn't care what their opinion of them is anymore. She just wants to testify to love. And because of that, many come to believe, and many come to find this life-giving water, to find this love for themselves. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to hear from Jim Beckman and hear how his story is a story like this woman at the well. You're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people and launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. Today, we're welcoming to the show Jim Beckman, who is a pioneer in Catholic youth ministry and really lay ministry. He's been an incredible influence in the world of and in our country, helping shape both ministries to young people, but now also adults as well and lay leaders. Jim, welcome to the show.
It's great to be with you, Dan.
Yeah, so Jim, you know, God's done some incredible things in your life, and just earlier we were talking about the Samaritan woman at the well, and growing up, you knew a Samaritan woman, didn't you?
Yes, I love that story, because it captures in some ways so much of, I can't really share my own testimony without talking about my mom, and her story is just so similar to the conversion that you see happening to the Samaritan woman. My life, you know, just to give you my background, when I was very young, I was only 6 months old, my dad was injured in kind of a freak accident at a chiropractor's office. He went in with a slip disc and, you know, something just went wrong and ended up having a severe injury that paralyzed him from the neck down.
Oh, man.
So just as a young kid, you know, like my dad was in and out of hospitals for several years as they were trying to fix what had happened. I had another sister who, she had a stroke in the birth canal as she was being born. She was like 3 years older than me. And it ended up, as she was born, had cerebral palsy, had lots of struggles, particularly in her younger years, with in and out of hospitals and surgeries, trying to help her with some of the things that had happened to her in the whole birth process. You know, so as a child growing up, my life was just filled with lots of tragic circumstances, you know. Yeah. And that had a huge toll on my mom. When I was about 8 years old, another sister, who was just 2 years older than me, very suddenly died. She contracted Reye's syndrome, and really within a day or two, she got very sick, admitted to the hospital, and then just died very suddenly.
Wow.
And that, for my mom, was just, it just kind of broke her.
Yeah, definitely.
She ended up having a bit of a mental breakdown and went into a hospital. All of us kids got farmed out to different family members or relatives. And I was out in California for almost 4 months. And after that whole time, we were all brought back to Phoenix, where we live. And my mom was back home, but, I mean, she still was very depressed and really struggling. And I look back on it now as an adult and can see that she probably was drinking a lot, even though she hid that from us. She was just always in her bedroom, sleeping, and you know, during that whole stretch of my life, I just remember watching a lot of TV, you know, and so as a, you know, around that time, you know, probably 9 years old, one day, just all of a sudden, experienced this very dramatic change in my mom.
Hmm.
She just was more peaceful. She was present. Seems joyful and happy in a way that I'd not experienced her in years. Something had definitely changed in her. And she kept trying to get us kids, you know, together. She'd try to read the Bible to us. And, you know, like, it was things that we were just not familiar with at all. And, you know, I would later hear her tell her story. and she talked about how this all started. We were just going to Mass one weekend, and somebody stood up at the end of Mass and said that they had this seminar coming a week later on a Saturday called the Abundant Living Seminar. And they were given an announcement about this. And my mom would joke about how she heard the term abundant living. She's like, oh yeah, right. Like there's abundant living, you know?
Yeah.
And, she hears the announcement and kind of balks at it. After Mass, there's people standing outside as people are leaving, handing out the flyer and personally inviting people to come. And of course, somebody comes up to her and is saying, hey, we've got this great seminar coming next weekend, and hands her the flyer. And, you know, again, it just makes her even more angry. And, you know, at you just got to imagine, like, at this point in my mom's life, very bitter, very angry at God. Her life has just been one tragedy after another. Her husband is literally in a nursing home now, paralyzed from the neck down. And she's working two or three, sometimes three jobs to try and keep the family afloat with six children. And, you know, she just wanted nothing to do with this, right?
Yep, definitely.
Well, she ended up going the next Saturday. She had the flyer. It kept kind of drawing her. She would share this story later, that the reason why she really was attracted to go was because she just wanted to prove that it wasn't possible. And so she ends up going to the day, hearing this guy, you know, giving these talks all morning about, you know, his whole ministry was kind of rooted in John 10:10. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. But he actually talked about the Samaritan woman and talked about her story and about those waters of abundant life, you know, those living waters that Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman about. That was all part of his talk. Well, my mom had just, you know, like by close to lunchtime, she'd almost had all she could take. And she went up during one of the breaks to talk to this guy, and she had to wait in line. So by the time she finally got her turn, she was so mad that she just throws her binder at him. They had given a binder to everyone, you know, with all the materials for the day.
Uh-huh.
And she just throws it at him. It pops open, and papers go all over the floor. And God bless this guy. Like, instead of, like, engaging in argument with her, which at this point she's just kind of ranting at him, like, this is a crock, and this isn't true, and this isn't even possible. If you had any idea, like, what I've experienced in my life, you wouldn't be teaching what you're teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he just gets down on his hands and knees and starts picking up her binder.
Wow.
Just back together and letting her go on, you know. And at a certain point, he stands up and he hands the book back to her. And he says, man, I don't know your life. I don't know all of the things that you've experienced and the tragedy that you've experienced, but I do know that everything in this book is true. This is directly from the Bible. And God is inviting you into abundant life. He's inviting every single one of us into abundant life.
Yeah.
Well, she left, went home, and found a babysitter, and grabbed her Bible and the binder, and, you know, it took her several hours, you know, but she ended up being able to leave us kids again and went to a Denny's restaurant. And she sat there for hours, looking in the binder, finding a scripture verse, and then trying to find it in the Bible.
Hmm.
And she just kept going back and forth and back and forth. Well, over time, the Word of God, the powerful Word of God, broke her heart, because she just kept finding one scripture passage after another in the Bible, which she was just convinced that it wasn't possible that they were there. Hmm. And when she just kept finding one after another and reading them and realizing this is God's word, words that she had never heard before, very late, you know, it's almost in the middle of the night, there wasn't anyone else around as she's sitting, you know, in this booth at a Denny's. She ends up getting on her knees gets out of the booth and gets down to her knees in the middle of a Denny's restaurant in Phoenix, Arizona, and says, and just cries out to God, "If you're real, I want you in my life."
Wow, that's incredible.
So like that, what we witnessed as the change in her was on the other side of this encounter, right? This powerful moment with God, really on her own.
Wow, that's amazing. So if you're just joining in, we're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. My name is Dan Dimite, and we're here talking with Jim Beckman, who's sharing this his own encounter with Jesus Christ, but he's starting with the story of his mother and how she had encountered Jesus. Jim, that's just incredible. So she literally fell to her knees in the middle of a Denny's restaurant and started crying out to Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow.
And experienced God in a very, way that drew her back to our church, to the parish, and some of the people that had invited her to the seminar, found out that there was a prayer group that met there every week. So she started going to that. And she just became fire in her faith. And this is why she kept, pulling us kids together, wanting to read the Bible to us and wanting to talk to us about God. And, so over the next couple of months, we all witnessed this powerful transformation that had happened with her. And so it made sense, that a couple months later, when she said one night, "Hey, I'm going to this," all of us were like, "Yes." Now my two older brothers at that point had really derailed in many ways in with things going on in their life, and had become very rebellious and kind of hard for my mom to handle.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't really, my oldest brother wasn't even living at home at that point, and the one younger than him was kind of in and out. And but the three younger kids, we all went with mom that night, and that really was the conversion moment for me. I was 9.5 years old. The whole prayer group that night was going to a Pentecostal prayer gathering where they had this special guest speaker, and everyone wanted to go hear him. So this is a setting that we ended up walking into this night. There's probably 1,000 people there, this huge room, and this guy kind of preaching his heart out in true Pentecostal fashion. He's waving his Bible and shouting and screaming. And I remember as a 9.5-year-old kid being like, "What in the world is this?"
Uh-huh.
And I was listening for the first, 5-10 minutes, and then I fell asleep.
You fell asleep?
almost the whole talk,
Wow.
And, I wake up to people clapping when he's done. And to him saying, If you want to hear what I've been talking about tonight, if you want to personally experience it, I want to invite you to come up here so that I can pray with you." And I don't know. I mean, I hadn't listened to anything that he said. I slept through him this whole talk. But I was just immediately attracted to, "If you want to experience what I've been talking about." So I just jumped up and started walking up front. And I remember hearing a lot of giggling. And I'm looking around like, why are people laughing? And then I'm realizing they're laughing at me because, I'm walking up in front of this large room by myself. I literally was the first person up there. My brother and sister were close behind because
uh-huh.
they didn't want to miss anything. And I think everyone was just kind of humored by the innocence of children, as we just rushed to the front.
Definitely.
Because we were up there so fast, though, this guy ended up, there was prayer teams all across the front, but we ended up getting prayed over by the speaker.
Hmm.
And I don't know how to describe it, but as a kid, I experienced something so tangible and real. I felt like a jolt of electricity just rushed through my body.
Wow.
As this guy laid hands on me. And I remember opening my eyes and looking around to see, did somebody just touch me with something? What was that? And I had no context. I'd never been around anything like this. I had nothing to compare it to, but it just felt so real. And then when I realized that the only thing touching me was this guy's hand, I closed my eyes and was just overwhelmed with this peace and this joy that I couldn't contain. My brother and my sister had very similar experiences. And really from that night, there was a lot of miraculous things that ended up happening. My brother, the man asked us if there was something specifically that we wanted to be prayed for. And my brother had all of these issues with hernias. And he said, I want to be healed of my hernia so that I can be an athlete. He was just a year older than me. My older sister, who had cerebral palsy and had all kinds of surgeries, she had this surgery that had been done several months before, and she had this steel plate in her leg. And she was going back like a month later to have that steel plate taken out. Well, the original surgery that they had done was so complicated that she literally had to learn how to walk again. She was in a full body cast for a very long time.
Wow.
It was very painful and, you know, very hard to go through. And she prayed that night that the surgery that she was going to have would go smoothly and that she wouldn't have to go through all of that physical therapy and stuff again. So I was actually the third person to be prayed with because I was the youngest. And so I'm listening to my brother and listening to my sister. It's like, I didn't have any physical thing that I needed prayer for.
Yeah.
And so I just said, I just want as much of Jesus as I can get.
Amen.
That was my request. And,
Give it to me, Lord. We leave
that night, we get in the car and like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like, we were just on fire. And we're trying to sing songs we had just heard that night, but none of us really knew the words, you know? So we're trying to sing these songs, but it's like disjointed and mixing songs together. But we're all, it's very loud and chaotic. And like you're just so excited. And so we're driving home in this environment, right? Well, right in the middle of that, there is a break between songs or something, and like out of my mouth comes, "My people, your father is going to be healed and restored to your family in 6 months."
So you're a 9-year-old.
Well, there's dead silence. Yeah, so I'm 9.5 years old.
Wow.
And everyone in the car just freezes. Like, what was that? And I remember my mom like starting to sing another song. I think she was just like, okay, that was awkward. I have no idea so it was almost like we pretended like that never happened, you know? But I remember later that night just being convinced my dad's going to be healed and he's going to be back at home with us, which I had not experienced from my entire life. My dad had not been in my life. He was in a hospital or in a nursing home. And so as a 9.5-year-old kid, like taking great confidence in, God just told me that my dad's going to be healed.
Wow, Jim, that's incredible. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. We're speaking to Jim Beckman, an incredible lay minister in the church, and he's sharing about his life-changing encounter and about how Jesus is working powerfully when he was just 9 years old. Jim, we're going to come right back after a break, and I want to hear more after the break about was your father healed, right? So we'll be right back. Welcome back to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. My name is Dan Dimite, and we're talking to Jim Beckman. Right before the break, Jim had shared with us about how when he was 9.5 years old, he prayed a simple prayer that I just want all the Jesus I can get. And then all of a sudden, when he's in his car, he starts prophesying that as a 9.5-year-old, the Lord had spoken a prophecy through his lips, and he said, "My people, your father will be healed." So, Jim, man, of course, everyone's wondering, was your father healed?
Yeah, so what, you know, just to kind of sum up that story, what ended up happening, we got home that night, my brother got the gift of tongues, and he was prayed over.
And he was about 10 years old?
Very articulate. I kept trying to pretend that I had tongues. but, I mean, he was, it sounded like a language, you know. And he kept saying to my mom, I want to share this new gift with Dad. And my mom was like, oh, no, you can't do that. Because my dad was very bitter, very, very depressed, very angry man in the nursing home. He gets on the phone and calls my dad without my mom knowing it. And my dad answers the phone. He said, "Dad, I went to this prayer meeting tonight. I got this gift, and I want to share with you." And he starts praying in tongues over the telephone. Well, my dad stops him and says, "Get your mother on the phone," which, of course, my mom's expecting to get, you know, reamed out. And she's like, I didn't want him to call you, and I can explain. And my dad says, "Listen to me. That boy just said the Lord's Prayer in Latin to me." Which is all I remember from my high school Latin classes, you know.
Wow.
And he was like, I don't know what you're doing, but this has got to be real.
Wow.
And so my brother at that point, you know, he was just 10, had never heard Latin in his life, you know.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
So God used that to actually open up a crack in my dad's heart.
Wow.
Some people from the prayer group at our parish started going to the nursing home and praying with him and really leading him through a life in the Spirit seminar. And over the course of the next 6-8 weeks, my dad ended up having, you know, a very powerful conversion experience that ultimately led him to have an encounter with Christ in the nursing home in the midst of a seizure. and you know, you just gotta, I mean, the story takes way too long. We just don't have the time for it today, but I mean, over the 9 years that he was hospitalized, he had 33 major surgeries, including two brain surgeries, and, you know, had a lung removed from lung cancer. The lower four vertebrae of his back had been eaten away by cancer of the spine, and I mean, he was just a complete invalid.
Wow.
Because of the brain surgeries, he would frequently have these seizures, and he had a grand mal seizure one night, and in the midst of that seizure, Jesus appeared to him in a vision and washed his feet, and he woke up from the vision healed and able to walk. And subsequently they did all kinds of tests, and the vertebrae that had been eaten away in his back were back in his back, and the lung that they had removed surgically from him because of lung cancer was back in his body, and the nerves that they had cut and severed and burnt in brain surgeries were all back and functioning.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, there's just no way medically to explain
absolutely
what happened to him.
Miraculous.
And that happened literally a week before my 10th birthday, which was almost 6 months to the day from the night that we went to that Pentecostal prayer meeting, you know. So there I am as a 10-year-old kid, and I had experienced the power of God, the reality of God, in a way that was just undeniable for me.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, it really altered the course of my life. The reason why I love the story of the Samaritan woman is because it just captures so much what happened, right? Like, the Samaritan woman has an encounter with Jesus at the well and runs back to the village to tell everyone, "Come and meet a man who told me everything that I did." And I don't think the people's reaction to her at first would have been, "Okay, let's go out there and see this guy," right? Like, you developed it so well, Dan, like, this woman was sketchy, and people treated her miserably, and that's the reason why she went out to the well, to avoid people at the time that she did, right?
Yeah.
I don't think their first reaction would have been to just do whatever she said. I think they saw the change in her,
yep.
And that's what drew them out to see what she had experienced, you know? And that's what happened to us kids. Like, my mom had this encounter with God in Denny's, and then with the prayer meeting at our parish, and then she came back to her village, which was our family, and started telling us all about it. And it wasn't so much what she was saying that drew us; it was what we saw in her. She was changed, And that's what made us go, you know. But later, I could say, just like those people said, you know, at first I came because of what I saw in you. I came because of your testimony. But now I've experienced it for myself. And yeah. I believe that this is the Son of God, you know.
Amen. Amen.
That experience really did alter my life, and really all through high school and college and after college. Like, my life ever since has been, I've become a herald of the kingdom, and I'm sharing with people about what I've experienced with Christ and with his love, and I want people to come alive in that in their own life.
Yeah. And Jim, has it always been easy for you? I mean, I think of when we encounter Jesus, it almost, the words missionary impulse have been sticking out in my mind lately. Like that we need to have this missionary impulse where the Lord almost, like, when you have an encounter like you did as a 9-year-old, a 10-year-old, how do you not give your entire life over to the Lord, right? Like, has it always been easy? How do you deal with the difficult times?
Well, I think for me, and I know that God doesn't work like this in everyone's story. Like, I had something very dramatic and very tangible. And I know God doesn't work like that in everyone's life. But I think God does allow those miraculous things to happen for some people so it can be a testimony for others. Mm-hmm. I've gone through a lot of very difficult times and very hard times that have made it, you know, it's been very challenging. And in some ways, my life has continued to be marked with lots of tragedy, that lots of people that I've been close to that have died, and lots of tragic circumstances. And even in my ministry, like I was a youth minister at the parish that was 2 miles down the street from Columbine High School.
Wow.
So when the Columbine shooting happened years ago, you know, 200 of my teenagers were in the school. 3 of them were murdered. And, you know, another dozen or so were injured. And I mean, I went through 2 or 3 years of just very traumatic, depressing circumstances in the aftermath of that shooting. So, I mean, like, I've experienced lots of difficulty and lots of trial and struggle.
Yeah.
But I've always been able to hold on to the reality of how real God is and how God wants to be a part of our life. God doesn't always change the circumstances. But God does offer us abundant life. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Heck yeah!
Like when you have that abundant life and those living waters really flowing within you, the circumstances will be whatever they are. But you can always hold on to and thrive on the life that God is putting in you. You know.
Yeah, and I think sometimes what we're looking for when we turn to the Lord and we're looking at these living waters, we're looking for just an earthly solution. And, you know, for your family, there was a very tangible earthly solution. But sometimes the Lord's healing takes a number of years. Like Jacob, when he wanted to marry Rachel, it took him 14 years before he could, he was finally wedded to Rachel. And I think the Lord, you know, when we approach him at the well and we ask for these life-giving waters, sometimes it's a miraculous healing that happens within 6 months. But sometimes it takes time and patience, and the Lord wants us to wait for those 14 years or maybe 40 years and wander with him in the desert and remain faithful. And so whether or not your story is like Jim's, and the Lord wants to give you life-giving water and heal you immediately, or whether your story is more like Jacob's, where you have to wait 14 years, either way, the Lord wants you to remain faithful to him and to use Jim's testimony to know that God is still alive and active in this world. The same Spirit who healed the sick and raised the dead in biblical times is still working today. And Jim's life is a great testament to that. Jim, thanks so much for sharing with us. Thanks so much for being on the show. I think your story is a story of hope. Is there anything else you want to share with the audience before you? We have to leave. We have about 2 minutes left.
Well, I mean, I would just want to emphasize what you just said. Like, God does work very differently in different people's lives, but at the heart of living water, at the heart of abundant living, is God wants us to be free. No matter what your circumstances are, He may not do the miraculous thing to take away the circumstances, but he wants your heart to be free and wants your life to be filled with joy. And he wants to be the heartbeat of that joy. And that's something that he desires for every single one of us.
Amen. Amen. Let's just close our time in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This comes from Revelation chapter 22. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let the hearer say, come. Let the one who thirsts come forward, and the one who wants it receive the gift of life-giving water. Lord, we come to you today, and we want the gift of life-giving water. We want to join in that prayer that little 9-year-old Jim prayed when he said, I want all the Jesus I can get. Lord, we want all of you that we can get. We want you to fill us up with your life-giving water. Fill us, Lord, with all of your treasures, all of your goodness. Whatever gifts, Lord, that you want to pour out on our listeners right now, we want you to pour those gifts out. We want you to pour out the gift of peace, pour out the gift of love, pour out the gift of joy and happiness, of hope, Lord. We pray for an increase of the gift of hope, an increase of the gift of faith. Come, Lord Jesus. We come to you, Lord, hungry and thirsty for all that you have for us. Lord, today we pray for all of those who are like the Samaritan woman at the well, who are struggling, who are hurting, and who are broken. We pray, Lord, that you will give them the life-giving water, that you would give them an abundant life, that you have come so we might have life and have it to the fullest. Lord, give us the full and abundant life. We pray with hope. In the name of Jesus, we pray with hope and faith that you will give to our listeners everything that they ask of you right now. Come, Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you so much for joining us on Encounter Radio. I pray that you all have the grace to receive and respond to every divine encounter that God brings to you today, to share your testimony with others, to share the love that you have found in Jesus Christ. To learn more about us and the show, or how you can share your life-changing encounter with our audience, please visit encounterradio.org. That's encounterradio.org. Thank you.